You grooving already? We gonna make y'all dance on this one. Introducing my man.
Good evening and welcome to Wish Upon a Star. This is Andale Banks, your host. Wish Upon a Star is a dynamic radio program, and what we do is we spotlight talent in the arts arena with discussions of the challenges and give some advice in making it in the visual, musical, literary, painting, and performing arts. As a unique part of the show, we will interview professional guests. These are experts in the fields of entertainment law, copywriting, studio recording, publishing, and promoters, all relative to this highly competitive industry. We are going to highlight our guests today. I am certain many of us can attest to meeting the dawn of a new day. Sometimes dread hearing the alarm go off. We hit the metal snooze button and pretend that all the depressing news in the world is just a bad dream. If so, you are not alone. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Nellie Millard, has written a book of poetry entitled Inspirational Spa, From the Womb of the Morning. It is an eloquent collection of poetry for those who want to shift toward a more positive, inspirational thinking mood to start your day and enlighten your life. She reminds us that there is a freshness, a particular newness, a nuanced purity indigenous to morning, in that it is the prologue to another day. Her biography. Miss Nellie Millard is a graduate of Johns Hopkins University, Howard University, and the United States Capitol Page School. This acclaimed author is a celebrated speaker and career consultant who specializes in helping individuals learn and develop through self-awareness and self-appreciation. With a lifelong appreciation for poetry, Miss Millard has been able to experience how her soulful, timeless poetry can encourage and empower others, especially when infused with her Christian faith. She has shared her poetry at the NAACP Unity Banquet, the swearing-in ceremony of former Baltimore mayor, also at the Social Security Administration, at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center's Black History Month celebrations, at the Women's History Month celebration. Miss Miller has also been featured on Radio One's Larry Young morning show on station WOLB, as well as Morgan State University's WEAA station with Anthony McCarthy. A successful collection of positive ideas and poems. This is a quote by Kirkus review of her published book, Inspirational Spa, From the Womb of the Morning. Miss Millard is here today to instruct us firsthand on her inspirational formula of how to treat each morning like a rebirth and a new opportunity to grow. Welcome to the show, Nettie, if I can call you Nettie.
By all means, hello, Andale, and the listeners. It's so good to be with you today. I'm so excited to share with you.
Excellent. And like I said, I'm always very excited because I learned so much, and our guests have told me they've learned so much by the guests and the way the format of the show actually runs. So we're going to just start off with the quite obvious. The title of your book, Inspirational Spa, From the Womb of the Morning. this is a very interesting turn on Meeting the Morning. How did you come up with that title?
Well, that's a really good question, and it really has a whole story that goes along with it. So let me just start by saying that I know it was a particular morning. I was reading the Book of Psalms, and I came upon a verse of Scripture with the phrase, from the womb of the morning. And I thought that that was so interesting, and I found it particularly poetic, really. And I thought about it. I said, well, okay, well, the womb of the morning. Here we have morning time, but yet in the womb, it's darkness. So yet in the womb of a woman, it's dark, but yet there is life, and there is growth, and there is nurturing. And when we think about the morning time, there are parts of morning in those very wee early hours of the morning, it's dark. It's dark, but yet it's morning. So I found that to be particularly fascinating. And then later on, I went on I utilized a gift that was given to me to have a little spa getaway. And following that spa treatment, it was like, okay, both the spa treatment and that scripture reading that morning, they were both therapeutic. They were both relaxing for the mind, the body, and the spirit. And so I ended up putting the two together for that title, an inspirational spa from the womb of the morning. So that's the whole story around that title.
And again, like I said, it's a quite a twist that I think most people, only artistic people, could come up with stuff like that.
Right.
And you did it wonderfully. And I know some people may steal it, you know.
Well,
because
thank you.
It's so profound, and yet so like you said, poetically correct.
Right.
And again, with poetry, there's another interesting factor. Poetry is a very intricate, intellectual type of art. So when it comes to creativity, creative writing, how long have you been writing poetry? Because that's a hard field.
I've been writing poetry since I was a little girl, Andel. I would say since about the age of 10 was when I still have my little booklet on colored paper with I put little holes in the paper and tied it with some string where I began to just write some poetry. I was a pretty quiet child, not a shy child. There's a bit of a difference. Quiet, just in terms of that, my preference of how I see the world, but I would always speak up for myself and that type of thing. And so I believe that, writing the poetry for me was a way to express myself. So I began to, write about various things like the rain and the birds and, nature, those types of things. And then my mother in particular saw this writing. And as a matter of fact, she entered me into a talented teen contest that was about some 4 years later, in which my talent was poetry. And I was excited that I came in a second runner-up at that time. So I've been writing it for a while. But interestingly for me, some people, they write constantly and consistently. And for me, it just hasn't been that way. I can go through a phase where I have to write and I'm writing constantly. And then I can stop literally for a few years. And then suddenly it picks back up again and it begins to flow. So that's how the poetry writing journey has been for me. But I love looking at the poems that I've written over the years, and I could see the growth, the development within the poetry, and not only the poetry within myself, because that's where it starts. It starts from within.
Oh, absolutely. And we have an artist here. I'm an artist. And he is trying to get people together. He's had a couple of meetings, but I don't know. He somehow appears that artists still are those type of people who, you know, don't really want to be community people with themselves, with each other. I don't know why he thinks that, but anyway.
Oh, no.
Because your story almost sounds exactly like mine, because when I was in the kindergarten, because I was, my birthday is in November, my parents put me in school when I was 5 years old, and my kindergarten teacher found out that I could draw, because I would never color outside of the line. And that's when it was discovered. And from that day forth, my parents put me in every art class, program, whatever. But similar to you, I did not really like art at that particular time. I liked more business. So I did have a couple of business degrees, and then I went and took art. So our story's almost all the same. And I'm, when Cisco has another meeting, you told me you're a Baltimorean, a native Baltimorean, but I don't know if you live here now or live in...
Yes, I do.
Where you?
I do.
Okay.
Okay,
well, then I'll get in touch with you when he has that a meeting again, because he does wonderful things. Also, Daddy, what was your motivation in writing this book? Now, what was your actual motivation? Even though you like poetry, what was your motivation to say, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to publish a book?
I like that question. I tell you, it was one of those things. I had so many people who would hear the poetry. So some years ago, I released a CD of poetry entitled Inspiration. And then from there, individuals were like, okay, I would really like to read it. Do you have it in book form? And and so I said, okay, well, let me sit down and actually do this and pull it all together. And the whole idea is to, you know, uplift, encourage, inspire, and empower individuals. And so, you know, there's so many things going on in the world today. You know, if there's any way that each of us can do whatever it is that each of us can to uplift another person, that's what I wanted to do, my part. And in that regard, my part is this collection of poetry. Because it's more than a poetry book. Some people just have books that are totally poetry. This has a number of facets in it. One is the poetry. And another aspect are some journaling exercises where individuals, there are some, I call them inspirational therapy pressure points, where it gives a particular scenario and then allows an individual to think of themselves in that scenario and how they would then either deal with it or how they would move into the next level or the next phase of it might be a particular challenge that they're currently facing. So that's another aspect. And then the book ends with 31 days of reflection, where each day there was just simply a reflective thought. An individual from there can do some journaling if they want based on that thought. I do want to go back to another point, Andel, regarding this book and that title, The Inspirational Spa. So each chapter in this book is corresponds with what I call inspirational spa treatment. So, for example, the first chapter is called The Resilient Full Body Massage, and in it, those poems depict faith and resilience. Then the next chapter is a motivational deep tissue massage, and those are energizing words of positive action, an appreciative hot stone massage. And that's poetry that I wrote in admiration and celebration of other individuals relative to various aspects of their life. Because sometimes people ask me to write poems for, let's say, if a person has a transitioning to another job, or a person is getting married, or things like that. I've been asked to write specific poems. And then there's a self-reflective facial. Those are poems of introspection. So all of those topics in mind, I wrote this book to help, when you bring all of those together, hopefully and prayerfully, a person will have heard a word, a sentence, a phrase that will inspire and encourage them to keep on keeping on.
Right. And what you have done is actually answer the next question that I was going to ask you, and that was the general theme of the poems you write, because the poems are very uplifting, and they're very varied. And that is the main theme, like you said, to uplift people and to make them say, hey, this day is good and it can be better.
That's right.
So that is your main theme of the poems you write.
Exactly. You know, and when I spoke at the NAACP Unity Banquet, there was, you know, sometimes, you know, people come up to you and, you know, say how good they enjoyed the poem and things of that nature. There was one person who really, really moved my heart and touched me. There was a young woman who came over to me and she gave me a big hug. And she whispered into my ear, and I'll never forget it. She said, Miss, I really enjoyed your poem. She said, because I was ready to kill myself until I heard your words. And then she walked off. And I'm like, oh, you know, so, you know, the next person came up to me, you know, oh, really enjoyed it. But I still thought about this woman who came and hugged me and then she left. And that's when I was like, oh, my goodness, I've got to do something, you know, with these words and to share them. If it's having that type of impact, if it impacts one person, then, hey, you know, you did a great job.
Absolutely, because that's what poetry does. I mean, poetry now has been given a back burner before all of these places have sprung up for the spoken word, because there's several pieces of poetry. They're not my poetry, but I love, and I recite The Phenomenal Woman at some of the things that I go to. And the other one I really love, I recited it once, God, Why Did You Make Me Black, which is a man's liturgy about why God made him black, and God answered it. I love that. I just love that kind of thing. And you're absolutely right. Your inspirations that you have written, they depict faith and resilience, energizing words of positive action, celebrating personal milestones, and introspective poetry. And this lady probably heard that she start thinking, what would happen if I did that? What would happen to the other people?
Yeah.
Maybe when she heard that, it actually gave her that. I believe, like her story, because I've heard some people tell me certain things too, and I believe also, Nettie, that everyone has a story to tell. However,
yeah.
Can anyone write poetry?
you know what? Someone had asked me that, you know, before. And I'll put it this way. You know, so there's a difference between writing poetry and then being a poet. Almost, you know, anybody can, you know, pin some words and write words down, okay? So sure. But at the same token, like, can anyone sing? Sure, but can you really sing? You know? So I do believe that someone can write poetry, but then there is an aspect of it that is truly a gift for the person who is writing. a type of, expression. It's almost like, we can hear someone sing a particular song, and they did a really good job. But then you hear someone sing that same song, and it's like, now they sang that thing. brought it home. Because, there is something else that inner passion, it becomes a part of who the person is. It goes from a knowing into a being. It's a part of who the person is. And then when it gets to that point, poetry is not only informational, it goes beyond entertaining, it's transformative. It becomes transformational. I know that there is a 19th century poet, his name is Percy Shelley, or Percy Bysshe Shelley, and he said that poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world. And, and I believe that. I think he was right on it with that. So, in a sense, a person can write poetry, but, is it really a part of who this person is? And it really comes out, and particularly in those words, jump off of the page or out of a person's mouth, and it begins to transform. Then that's something to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, it can be in poetry, it can be in writing a book, and like mm-hmm. with the Temptations sing Some Enchanted Evening. I mean, it's just, it just comes into a different hemisphere, you might say, than what you originally heard. So I know what you mean. You can write poetry, but you don't have to necessarily claim yourself. You can't be a poet. I mean, roses are red, violets are blue. I like
there you go.
What about
exactly.
You?
exactly.
I mean, and somebody told me, said, "Oh, you're a poet." They don't even know it. So usually, also, Nettie, in the artistic arena where we are, we look at those who were successful in a chosen field, like an artist looks at another artist. That's what I do. What other poets have inspired you?
Well, I grew up in an era. I'm one of the, what do you call it, like the late era of the baby boomer generation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up reading particularly those artists during the Harlem Renaissance period.
Right.
And they were just, and are just phenomenal.
Yes.
When we talk about Langston Hughes and Paulhan's Dunbar, Nikki Giovanni, County Cullen, Honor Bonham, those individuals, I found particularly inspiring. I like the way that, their poetry, it was written for the time, but yes, it's timeless,
Yes.
Some of those poems still speak to the day, to this day that we're currently in. And so it speaks to the time, but it's really timeless. And that's the type of poetry that, I endeavor to write that, can expand generations. So, those were some of the poets that really, really inspire me.
Oh, excellent. What we're going to do right now is I'm going to take a station break, and we're going to be back in exactly 15 seconds.
Okay.
Right. Let's get loose.
Get straight.
Get that thing.
What up, y'all? Just came to your city to say what's up.
What up?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me love.
Show me love.
Hey.
Hop off the plane to a new show.
What up?
And all the shorties, they be waiting on me. Thugs packing they pistols. But ain't nobody aiming on me. Got a pocket full of fresh dough. So you know I gotta bake it, homie.
Bake it for me.
And I'm thankful. Get whatever you want.
Hi, welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. We want to say thank you for listening to Wishing Upon a Star, and we're broadcasting on bbsradio.com station 2. All of our previous broadcasts can be listened to in the archives with the link bbsradio.com station 2. We also welcome comments and suggestions. You can write this via email at musicradio34@gmail.com. Returning to our most featured guest, Nettie Miller, author of Inspirational Spark from the Womb of the Morning. Nettie, in continuing our conversation, I am an artist, and sometimes when I go to shows and I'm painting and painting, some people interrupt and say, how can you concentrate with all of these people? I said, well, you know, I can just tune it out and concentrate on what I'm doing. So concentration, I believe, can be a paramount in creativity. Do you have to be in a particular place or have a particular mindset when you write?
Well, I know that for me, in terms of the writing, you know, it's almost like with a person who's having a baby, when, you know, that baby doesn't care if it's daylight, nighttime, or if it's in the storm, if it's in the rain, that baby is coming. You know, it's like, no, wait, that baby is coming. So for me, really, the words come sometimes. I could be any place. And that's why always...
That's a good analogy. Mm.
You know, that's why sometimes I always carry with me, whether it's a little, you know, a little writing pad or something to have, you know, with me so that I can, you know, jot those words down as soon as I get a chance. So I can be almost any place, but the thing about a particular mindset, that's a different thing. I go back to what you were just said about, when you were, you know, you were painting in a gallery and there's a number of people there, but yet you had a certain mindset. You were like, hey, you tune them out. And so
yes,
for me, I'm able to get my mind, as long as my mind is in a state of rest. My mind is in a state of rest, and those words seem to flow. So even though there might be chaos going on around me, my mind is in a state of rest. And that's when, you know, it really flows. And so, you know, I think about, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, you know, when they say that how, you know, the bomb's bursting in air, but yet this person pinned the words. There was so much chaos, but yet look what came out of it. And sometimes that's when the best work comes out, when a person is in the midst of their own chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the midst of something that, you know, it might be some type of hurt, or it might be an ultimate joy. You know, that mind is in a state of rest, and here comes the word. So, yes, that's pretty much how it works, you know, for me there. And, you know, that's great. I know one of the... one poem that I have in this book I wrote while I was at my desk and work. I'll just say it was lunchtime. Maybe that'll help. Because I had to go ahead and pin those words that were coming to me. But anyway, yeah, it's almost any place, but in a state of rest.
Absolutely. And like you said, sometimes you do your best work, you know. Another thing we have as creative people, we can look at certain things, and like for you, the words just come. People won't see that, but you can see it. Mm-hmm. And I would be walking with some of my non-creative artistic people, and I said, oh, my, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Such a thing, and I would describe what I saw. And they'd look at me, Nettie, and say, well, Andale, I don't see that.
Right, right. Exactly.
So you're right. We will be able to see and write, like you say, write down certain things that other people don't see.
Exactly.
Again, as I have said before, an artist can explain their art, and a poet is the only one that can render their poetry. Would you honor us in reading a couple paragraphs of one of the poems, and I'm being selfish here, the poem that I really liked was called A Refreshing, and it's on page 15 of your book if you have it in front of you.
Oh, sure, sure.
And well, I would love for our audience to hear the words to that, because I wouldn't do it justice, even though I read it and I loved it. I would like for you to render it the way that your mind told you to render it. So, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Nettie Miller, her poem, summary, A Refreshing.
Like the destination after the journey, like the end after the beginning, like the evolution after the revolution, like a brilliant morning after the darkest night, a refreshing. Like the truth revealed after the mystery concealed, like courage after timidity, like delight after despair, like the clearing after the fog, a refreshing. Like tranquility after the tempest, like confidence after diffidence, like triumph after the trial, like achievement after the goal, a refreshing. And then I'll skip a little to the end of this particular poem. Like love after hate, like prosperity after dearth, like life after death, like the spirit after the body, a refreshing, a blessing, a birthing, a knowing, a flowing, an awakening unto a new reality. That's a refreshing. And you know, Angela, I wrote that poem when a family member of mine got married in Bermuda. And I went out on the beach, and again, like I said, I always take something with me to write just in case. And I had no intention to write a poem. But as I sat out there, and that of course, that beautiful, beautiful water, blue, green, and you know, just so clear, it was so refreshing. It was so refreshing after, you know, the flight and after getting, you know, through the various checkpoints, after checking into the hotel, just to sit out there, it was so refreshing. And so there's various parts, that various aspects of our lives, after we get through those things, there is a refreshing. And that's when those words began to flow. So that's where I was. I was sitting out on the beach with my swimsuit and wrote A Refreshing.
Well, that only proves what I say, too. Once upon a time, when I'm doing my art, I thought I had to be around a lot of people and in order to get inspiration. But then I found out, like you said, if you're sitting on a beach or in a park or somewhere, you can still get that same inspiration, because sometimes I could be just in the kitchen cooking something. And
there you
something
go.
Will come up. And the surroundings for creativity is just what you're saying. Come to play many times, no matter where you are. So,
exactly.
Nettie, I give you carte blanche. If you could travel any place in the world and spend time writing, where would it be?
Well, the world is a very, very big place. I know we have a number of wonderful places here, right here in the United States. But if the question is that one place in the world,
yes,
I would have to say Cape Town, South Africa. I had a tremendous opportunity to go to South Africa a couple of years ago. And Cape Town, in terms of my life experience, Vandel, in terms of my life experience, it was the most beautiful place I have ever seen before. Anyway, I know a number of people talk about, you know, various places and the various islands and everything, and that's wonderful. I love my island sisters and brothers and my Hawaiian sisters and brothers, but when I went to Cape Town, it was so phenomenal. Words can hardly describe, but it's a place that I said I definitely want to go back to, and I could see myself, I would love to just go there and spend time to just write. That would be my place.
I can totally agree with you, because when I go to the museum and see some of the shows of the artifacts that they have brought back from Africa, Benin, and some of the other, actually, like you said, towns, ships, beautiful handcrafted work. I mean, when I had my gallery, I had a lot of pieces in there, and they sold just with the blink of the eye, all this handcrafted leather and wood pieces. I mean, some of them you don't want to give away, but I sold because they were the first things that went, because it was from a place that we could identify with. And I agree with you. That was a very good choice. I mean, some people would say Paris, you know, and all of those kind of crazy things. But this is where the soul, and creativity of the earth comes from. It came from South Africa. Yeah, I agree with you, and I wish I could go there too.
I know that there's a couple of people who have asked me, hey, well, you know, when you went to Africa, did you feel like, you know, you've been there before? And, you know, a number of people have told me that they, you know, felt like they've been there before and all of that. And to be honest, no, I didn't. It was too different to feel like I've been there before. I mean, it was such a different experience for me. From, you know, you're riding along in the street, and you know, I'm used to seeing dogs or cats run across the street, not a baboon running across the road, or you know, just being in that, you know, seeing animals in their natural habitats, the elephants, the lions, and that type of thing. But now what I did sense, which was very, very, very powerful, was that, wow, on this entire continent, someplace my ancestors came from. My feet are on the continent that birthed my ancestors. And that was a powerful feeling, something that I will never forget.
And I'm sure I have several friends who have gone to Africa and different parts of it. And matter of fact, a photographer, he had a lot of pictures, and I got some of his pictures that he had taken there. But what, too, I think they feel, Nettie, they're talking about psychologically. Meaning that there is a thread running through your body, my body, and all African Americans who, regardless of how you feel when you get there, that will never leave you.
Right.
That thread that you did come from this land. And it's a proud thing to me to be a part of.
Yeah.
I am extremely proud.
Yeah.
You have come from
Africa.
I know
what you mean.
I am extremely proud. You know.
Yeah.
So you were one of those ones that, like when I go away, I always try to take a piece of dirt or something and put it in a bottle, and, you know, but I ain't been to Africa, but but I, you know, to have some of the earth, but I do have cotton. I went to the South and I got a piece of raw cotton, actual cotton that my ancestors were picking on the field, things like that. So you've been there, and you, like you said, you put your feet on it, and your feet brought forth that thread that that's where you came from.
And then how
and
about
like
that?
And like I said, I congratulate you, and I feel very envious of that you had that opportunity to do that.
Well, maybe at one point we can hook up and go together. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Me and my old age, I probably die from the heat.
No. I don't think that'll happen.
Much as I am African American, I cannot stand hot weather.
Uh-oh. Well, there's always different times, you know, of the year that you can go,
that's
right?
True. Yeah. Well, I've been traveling now since I lost my son. I've been putting that on my agenda that I will start traveling. But my next thing I wanted to go was New Orleans. That was my next trip I really wanted to go to.
And that's something, and I haven't been to New Orleans. That's on my list.
Yeah. It will probably be the New Orleans, but anyway, I still wanted to go there because I like jazz, too. That's my thing. That's where I went. I went to Canada to a jazz festival for a week, and that was really nice because I like jazz. Again, Maddie, we all have favorites.
like an artist. I have some artists that I like. I like Degas and all of them and some of the Renaissance. And a musicians. We have musicians we love. We have dancers and actors. We all have some favorites in our particular goal, field, or skill that we have. If there was a poet you would most likely want to meet in life, or even if they were deceased but they were back in life, who would that be and why?
Can I name more than one?
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay. My first, though, would be Miss Nikki Giovanni.
Okay.
I mean, Nikki Giovanni, her boldness, her badness, her prose, her creativity, her cadence. I just am just such an admirer of Nikki Giovanni. I think she's fabulous. And the other person, and that was interesting that you were saying that I would go in the past. Let's say that would be probably William Shakespeare.
Okay.
I mean, he was an interesting, when you read his various long epic poems. If you notice, some of the poems in my book are very long. They're not like his. But I'll say, I would say they're more like an epic poem or a sonnet. That would be Shakespeare. But Nikki Giovanni would be number one.
Okay, I can identify with both of them because I have some of Nikki Giovanni works, and I have all of the works of William Shakespeare in my library.
Okay.
Shakespeare, I have Edgar Allan Poe, all of the top books, even some of the French, Anatole. I even have the books of Anatole, the French poet. An author, yeah. So I agree with you there, too, because I love the language. That language and that speaking is one of my favorite things. When I was in school, they chose me to take the class in English during student day.
Okay.
Because I just love the English language. I love the speaking. I love the words. I just love it. So I'm trying to work on a book now with people with poetry, and then I would do the artwork. But my daughter, she said, "Well, you need to write. You need to write." I said, "I can't write, but I can. I know what I want in my head, but I can't put it on paper. But I can do the painting." So that's what I'm working on now, trying to do a book of poetry in memory of my son, of course, with poetry and then the paintings as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Great. You have read one of your poems. Right. You have read one of your poems for me and for the audience. A refreshing. Now, of your choice, which is your favorite?
Oh, I would have to say, when it comes to my poems, I really don't have a favorite poem because they all have their own essence where they all inspire me at, different parts of my life journey. But I will say that there are some poems that I constantly get requests from my readers or from some of my followers where they, like to hear again and again. It doesn't matter, how many times I say it, they want to hear it again. It reminds me of like the Isley Brothers or something. There's some of their songs I just have to hear, Chaka Khan, I just have to hear.
Which ones are they?
One is The Soul of a Woman.
Okay.
And the other one is It's Time to Dream Again. Those are the two that individuals ask me to say very often.
Okay. Which page is Soul of a Woman on?
Oh, The Soul of a Woman is... Oh, my goodness, I should know the page
I got the book right here. I can look it up.
The Soul of a Woman is on page 8.
Okay.
Begins on page 8.
Oh, I see, and it's very lengthy.
And I could still, though, just break out a few parts of that.
Let's do that. Break out a few
since that is one of the ones that most people want to hear. Maybe the audience would love to hear some of it as well. You can continue. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Miss Nettie Millard, author of Inspirational Spa, From the Womb of the Morning, reciting The Soul of a Woman.
Birthed with purpose and destiny, clothed with strength and honor, arrayed with beauty and virtue is a woman. She gives birth to nations, to generations, for she is the strength of a nation, of her family, of her community. She is precious and priceless. Her worth is far above rubies, diamonds, and gold. Yet within her soul there may be abuses, misuses, and hurts untold, unheard, unresolved, unanswered, and since for ages there has been a battle which rages within her mind to stop her progress and put her behind. But woman, understand that your made-up mind cannot be stopped, no matter what shots the world has got. For the power of your made-up mind is dangerous. And so, you know, the poem goes on and all, like you say, it's a bit lengthy. So I'm going to end it with the, I'm going to skip a few pages, and I'm going to pick it back up on the last page, which says that a man can conceive it, but it takes a woman to really receive it and conceive it and give birth. A woman has the power to change anything on this earth through her conversation and her lifestyle. So, woman, go ahead. My God, adorn your smile. Keep your joy, oh, my goodness, and rest. For the best is at hand. As a matter of fact, it's already here. Throughout history, you have conquered fear and have defied the odds for all the world to see your victory. The price you have paid has not been in vain or even forgotten, for you have gotten this far by his grace. So, keep your pace and keep the faith and know that no challenge will be too great to overcome. No situation will be able to outrun the power, the strength, the soul of a woman.
Beautiful. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in 15 seconds. Thank you, Nettie.
Thank you.
Hi, and welcome back to Wish Upon a Star. This is Andell Banks, your host, and we're broadcasting on bbsradio.com, Station 2. You can listen to all of our previous broadcasts in the archive link on the website, bbsradio.com, Station 2. We also welcome comments and suggestions. You can send them at the email address, musicradio34@gmail.com. We're returning to our featured guest, author and poet, Nellie Millard. In her book titled Inspirational Spa, From the Womb of the Morning, I just can't stop saying it. It sounds so great. Nettie,
well, thank you.
Diversity is creativity. It's like Einstein said. Einstein wrote that he thinks that the creative person is richer in thought and mind than a person with a PhD. And I listened to that and thought about it over and over and over again, and I came to the conclusion he's absolutely right, because we're not in a box.
We can do
a lot of things. George Bernard Shaw also said it. He said it's the unreasonable, the people who do not go along with the world, that they create the world to come to them, is also a very creative person. And that's the person we will follow. And I said, wow, that is great.
I think about the clothing. The creative person makes the creative clothes. It's a creative person who tells you what fashions to wear. It's a creative person who tells you what furniture to put in your house. Not no regular person. It's a creative person. And in that vein, I think creative person people are also diversified in what they can create. It seems like it must be a must for the future. Like you said earlier, you write the poetry about the times of the day. I paint, and all artists paint, the times of the day for the legacy. So therefore, are you engaged in other forms of creativity or creative writing? And if so, what are they?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do like writing fiction. And I have published a couple of plays. One play is called Have You Ever Seen the Sunrise? Another one is called Living on the Grapevine. So, yes, those are the I enjoy all kinds of writing. So, yes, fiction and plays as well.
Oh, good. Well, I do mostly, I like jewelry. I like to create jewelry and make clothes. I used to make sew all of my clothes. I love creativity in that.
Oh, and I did that too, Landell. Okay, I certainly did. I used to, like you said, I used to sew all of my clothes. But one of the things I like about doing that is that, you know, you can just mix and match all kinds of types of fabric. You know, it doesn't have to go along with what any particular trend is. You know, you
right,
your own
and I'm not a trend person. I like to be different, and I still am.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, I just bought my third sewing machine, but like I said, everything seems to be like an avalanche in my life right now, and I haven't had a chance to even make anything or whatever. Sometimes, Nettie, also things can't go the way you want. Like I said, I want to write the book. I have been in plays. My girlfriend, she's a playwright. I've started one of her plays. I've also written production things and sold them. Did very well with that. I had a production company, and I did well with that.
You're quite the talented one.
Yeah, like I said, this is a diversity, and I knew you had some diversity too. So that's why I brought that up. That we can do so many different things, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes some things we can't do is because of financial restraints or family and whatever. For your book, and this is something that most of our audience, that's one of the main questions they ask, did you have a publisher or did you self-publish?
Well, I decided, after considering various options, I decided to self-publish. It gave me the flexibility that I wanted, and it allowed me to learn a lot about the publishing and the process. So I did self-publish this first book.
Okay. To learn the facets of it. How can someone actually, I've seen a lot online, because I have been looking too, to say, well, getting advice from other people, how do I go about self-publishing a book? Now, do you want to or you don't have to? Know of any places where people can call to find out about publishing and self-publishing?
Well, I mean, there are so many different self-publishing companies. So what I did is I honestly just did a search on self-publishers.
There
was also, and in doing that, a site came up that allows you to compare the different publishers and their ratings. You also want to look at what they offer you, the self-publishers, like in terms of if you publish, you get so many, you know, free copies initially. You also want to look at what the royalty setup will be. And so it's essentially, you know, or if they offer some other things like creating your cover for you if you don't want to do it yourself. So I compared all of those things and then decided on a particular one. So, you know, and what I decided on was CreateSpace, which is through Amazon. And it worked out very well for me.
Yeah, I saw that too. The Create Space. I saw that.
I thought they did a phenomenal job.
Okay, so that's what you're telling us, that we need to go online and just go ahead and do the due diligence of research and comparison.
Yes.
And another intricate question would be, what about the, like I was saying before, the financial restraints? Do they ask companies, do they ask for any money up front or anything like that?
Well, sure. For if you're going to self-publish, there will be a it all depends on what you want to have done. There are certain things that you don't have to pay for. Me, I wanted a cover professionally done, so I did have to spend some money up front. For those individuals who want to do their own cover, have someone do it for them, or if they have that, they have that creativity so that they can, certain things they can create themselves, the whole thing would be, you know, really no cost if they wanted to self-publish.
Oh, okay.
So it all depends on, you know, what the person wants to do.
And you have to do your own editing, because some people claim that if you don't do it professionally, you could have a lot of grammatical errors and that sort of thing.
Right. And so sometimes for additional fee, they do provide some editing. I wasn't going to pay that fee for the editing. So what I did is I got together a group of friends and family and had an editing party. And I had some food and things like that. I broke it, my chapters up into, you know, various segments. I gave each person a pen and told them, that, hey, go at it and take a look for me. And it worked. They did an excellent job. They did some great editing for me. So I was able to then take their information and, you know, make some changes and before I went to publish.
Absolutely. Well, I have a girlfriend. She's also an author. She's an author of financial help.
Okay.
And she had self-published. She got this publishing company, and she came to me and asked me to edit it. I found like 188 errors, and this was the third draft.
Okay. Right.
So so you're absolutely right on that. You need to get people who, or you know, they're somewhat educated enough to know what to do when you're editing something.
Oh yeah, they need to be very educated to, you know, if you want to watch out for, you know, those, whether it's grammatical errors or typos or just the wrong words.
Or even grammatical, whatever. Okay, we're coming to the part, the very important part, where you can give us all the information about your book, current projects, and anything else you want to tell our audience. This is the time to do it, and you can take your time. You want to know everything, where they can get the book, where you're going to be, how they can contact you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. My book can be purchased from Amazon.com or InspirationalSpa.com. If you go on my website, you will get a discount. I can also be reached at Nettie, that's Nettie, at InspirationalSpa.com, all one word, Inspirational Spa. Inspirational Spa is now a registered trademark because there will be books in that series, so I am working on the next book in that series. It won't be a poetry book, but it will be a book of empowerment. It'll probably have some poetry infused in it because that's just who I am and what I do. I penned a children's book when I was in South Africa, and so that I'm working on finalizing. I just need a wonderful illustrator for that to move that to the next level. And then I'm working on a novel, which will be part of romance / suspense. I'll say it's a blend of like a Nora Roberts and John Grisham type of novel. So,
I have all of his books too.
I have a number of things in the pipeline there. But and please feel free to contact me at Nettie at InspirationalSpa.com or go to my website, www.inspirationalspa.com. And again, the book is available at Amazon.com.
Okay. Also, Nettie, a lot of people, like I said, they don't have that get up and go, because sometimes they get up and go, had gone and left. But your book, I would like for you to make sure that you tell our audience how great your book is, because your preface here that I've read, it had a lot of very important things that people should know. If you wake up in the morning and reality is here, you said it's a deed to paint a world known and unknown with a resplendence often taken for granted, that there's out there so many things that you can do with your life.
Yeah.
The part where you have the author to the reader. So therefore, I love that, with that emphasis. So let's give me that information again, the name of the book and where they can get it.
Okay, again, the name of the book is Inspirational Spa, From the Womb of the Morning. And it can be found at Amazon.com or InspirationalSpa.com. And the feedback has been phenomenal. Again, it's for me and it's for you to uplift, encourage, inspire, empower, to go forth into another day knowing that this is the day where you can not only reach but accomplish your dreams. So, hey, let's go for it.
Okay, so is that your advice that you would give to any aspiring authors out there?
My advice to any aspiring authors would be, you've got to make up your mind that you're
Great.
Going to publish. You've got a made-up mind cannot be stopped. If you haven't done it yet, that means you just haven't made up your mind. Once you make up your mind that that's what you're going to do, you're going to write, and you will be published.
The absolutely true, the train that could. Again, Nettie, thank you so much. It has been absolutely interesting and very informative, and I want to say thank you so much. And we're going to do this again.
Awesome.
Do, even if you haven't finished your book, have you come back and just tell us what you're doing at that particular moment.
Awesome. Thank you. I'd love to be back. Thank you. This has been a wonderful experience. It's so wonderful to speak to you and to your listening audience. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to sign off. Hi, this is Ann Dell Banks, host of Wish Upon a Star. I want to say again, thank you so much for listening in to our featured guest, Miss Nellie Milford, with her book, Inspirational Spa, From the Womb of the Morning. In her book, she has a reflection for you today, and it says, her daily reflection, when you tap into the greatness within, the impossible becomes possible. Please, listen to us again every other Wednesday on bbsradio.com, station 2. Our previous broadcasts can be heard in the archive link on the website, bbsradio.com, station 2. We welcome comments and suggestions at musicradio34@gmail.com. This is Ann Dell, your host, and Denise Banks, your coordinator, saying, keep reaching for the stars.